Have your Bible ready this time in Romans chapter 12. And I want us to understand that this is an important transition. This is a turning point in the book of Romans. Paul is writing to Christians in Rome. He goes into some detail about justification by faith. He clears up some of his readers' confusion about a variety of things. And all through the first 11 chapters, it is instruction about God offering salvation by the activity of faith in Christ. Now, when you read that kind of material, you are informed. Questions are answered. Clarity is provided. But there comes a time when you need what might be called a therefore. What do I need to do about my life now based on all this information I've been provided? I see the truth written by the Apostle Paul. I see the truth about Christ, about God's plan, justification by faith. The gospel is for all. There is no distinction between Jew and Gentile. I see all of that clearly. I understand it, but now, what do I need to do? I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let me start here. The richness of this passage cannot be fully realized if you just read this passage. See, the best approach is to take into account what is written before Romans chapter 12. That's why I introduced the passage the way I did. This is connected to everything the writer has offered in the first 11 chapters. As you read what is before this, it prepares you to understand this. God has revealed a plan so that people who have obeyed Him can be forgiven based on the death of Christ. As that plan was activated through the ages, Christ came. It says in Romans 5 and verse 8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So when we place our trust in Christ, and as stated in Romans 6, we are baptized into Him to arise to walk in newness of life. One way to say that is we are justified by faith in Christ. We are Christian. In the first 11 chapters of Romans, Paul explains that. Paul discusses that, along with all the little nuances of conflict that existed back in the time of the apostle. Now, as you read that and take that in, this is important now. Paul isn't asking the readers to compliment him, praise him, or acknowledge his wisdom. No, that's not what Paul is driving at. He doesn't want you to pause here and say, Paul, you're a great writer, the way you have flowed all that together. Paul seeks no award or honor or applause. It is amazing. A Bible writers attribute everything to God that is worth anything. It is equally amazing how people act as though they accomplished everything themselves. But I want you to listen, please, to what comes right before Romans chapter 12. Look back in chapter 11 at verses 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For he who has known the mind of the Lord, for who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Now, what does that do? It sets the stage. It leads into this very practical teaching. Paul to Christians. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable and perfect. Based on this, I have three questions for us in this video. Three questions based on Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Are we giving God our bodies? I think some people conceive of religion as purely a mental function. You believe certain things and you argue in favor of your position and you engage in reading and learning and you devote your mind to the set principles and propositions given in Scripture, but you retain ownership and self-will about your body. In our modern world, there are adherents of various religions who hold to certain beliefs, but what they believe doesn't show up in how they use their bodies on a daily basis. Their minds have accepted the existence of God, but their bodies are intoxicated. Mentally, they understand the claims of Christ, the value of His sacrifice. But they defy what Christ has said and what He did in the way they use their bodies. There were ancient philosophies who advocated that mind and body are virtually unconnected, unrelated, and thus it was argued your mind can be right with God while your body having a good time serving the flesh. Complicated theories were advanced to justify selfish, appetite-driven use of the body while conceiving that you were giving your mind to God. Well, here's the answer to all that. God created mind and body connected. And in the call of the gospel, God isn't saying, give me a little space in your head. God is saying, bring me your life, your whole life, inside and out, mind and body. Are we giving our bodies to God? God says, your response to Christ, He will forgive you and clean your mind so you can give Him your life, mind and body. The impulses of the flesh, the desires of the body should be conquered in Christ. Paul of the gospel is God saying, bring me your whole life. Jesus died for you to be able to bring your whole life. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:10, I'm carrying in my body the death of Christ so that the life of Christ may also be maintained, manifested in my body. Number two, are we resisting conformity to the world? If I've been baptized into Christ, if you've been baptized into him, giving our bodies to God is a living sacrifice. That's not the way of the world. When you were baptized, you were not conforming to the world. When you became active in a local church, you were not conforming to the world. When you partake of the Lord's Supper, you are not conforming to the world. Becoming a Christian, living as a Christian, is not conforming to the world. However, the pressure is always there, isn't it? Though you're a Christian, obligated to conform to the teaching of Christ, there is always the pressure to conform to the world. Friends who in very subtle ways may want you to do things they do, which you cannot do because of your devotion to God. The devil uses all sorts of media in an effort to bring us into compromises, just a little at a time, small steps away from the Lord. Under the pressure, you can begin to be seduced by what you might first consider to be little innocent departures from God. See, the world wants you, but doesn't promise you any benefit. God wants us, mind and body, but promises us remarkable benefits now and after death. We must get up every day and remember the danger of being conformed to the world. When I conform to the world, I lose my identity. I become a slave to what is temporary, what ruins my character, what removes me from God's blessing. All around us, there is celebration of lust and encouragement to violence and immodesty and adultery and denials of God's creative work, rude, raw language. We have to live in this world, but we cannot let the world live in us. Suit of happiness, as the world defines it, will take us to eternal ruin. The pursuit of mature joy, as God defines it, will take us to eternal joy. John said, "Do not love the world or the things in the world." 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Are we existing conformity to the world? I must say that social media can be used for good or evil, but I'm thinking the weight of social media's impact is not in a good direction. Christians ought to be more interested in good works than good looks. Christians ought to know how to state their beliefs without insults and caricatures and questionable humor. Christians ought to be examples to the world of getting the facts right. The devil can use technology, one of his weapons, to defeat us. Keep your guard. Your guard up against the culture. Are we resisting the pressure of conforming to the world? Third, are we discerning what is the will of God? There is a very simple question that might need to be with us just all the time. Is this what God wants me? You have some idea, some plan, some issue, some decision. You're getting ready to argue about some matter. Some changes are being considered. Is this what God wants me to do? Be careful how you go about answering that. Subjective emotion is not reliable. You cannot let desire lead you into the imagination that God spoke to you and told you that it's all fine. Remember from a few weeks ago in these studies when I spoke from the Bible about the Holy Spirit. What has the Holy Spirit given? What does the Holy Spirit use? What does He provide for us to cut through the challenges and battles of life? Sword, of the Spirit is the Word of God. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. I cannot discern the will of God without the Word of God. When we are considering something, a change, an idea, a decision, clarifying moments can come to us. They need to come to us with the Bible open. Are we discerning the will of God? Listen again. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, perfect. Now, what's the motive? Mercies of God. Mercies of God. Without God's mercy, pressed through His plan of salvation, we could not give our bodies to God. We could not succeed in resisting the world. We could not discern the will of God with any practical expression. Thank God for His mercy and grace. Then respond to His grace by obeying the gospel and not conforming. Thank you for watching this.